Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us on Education Sunday is from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel in the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. With the public school starting and our Christian day school starting last week and Sunday school, New Year coming, we are all reminded that it's a new year. And the children have a place in this new year, in the schools, and so do the teachers. There's even a place for teachers. Important place. One of the first things that parents try to teach their children is that there's a place for everything and everything has its place. And that's something that's sometimes difficult to teach. It's also true about people. There's a place for everyone, and everyone has his place or her place. When we say that everyone has a place, we don't mean that they take up space somewhere. For example, if someone asked you where the pastor lives, you might say that his place is across the creek. Well, that's my house, but that's not my place, not right now. Right now, at this moment, my place is right here in front of you doing what I was called to do. My place is here. This is where I belong. Where is your place? Now, eternally, we're all going to some place. One place or another, and there are only two. And that's where we will belong at that time when we face eternity. We're not all going to the same place. Many people believe that God will finally bring everyone to that place called heaven, regardless of what they've done with his son. Is that really so? The scripture lessons for today don't bring that out. Take a look at the passage from the book of Acts that we read earlier. Since Judas had committed suicide after betraying Jesus, a replacement needed to be found from among the disciples who had witnessed the Lord's resurrection. And so we find in that passage that the disciples of the church began to pray, asking for the Lord's help and direction to choose such a replacement. And now look at what is said about Judas in verse 25. It says, Judas turned away from the ministry and apostleship of Christ to go to his own place. Now what was Judas's place? Where was the place that was perfectly suited for him? Jesus calls him lost, the son of perdition in John 17. Hell. Hell is the place where the fires burn without end, and we're told that the worm continues. In other words, it's always eating, and yet people never die. They continue to suffer in the fires of hell. Why was hell the place that Judas belonged? And that's an important question. People ask it all the time. Why did Judas belong in hell? And some say, well, that's because you can't have a greater sin than to betray the Holy Son of God. Well, no, that wasn't why Judas ended up in hell. That's not why hell was his place. There was forgiveness also for the sin of Judas. Jesus tried to bring him back to repent of his sins. Betray me with a kiss? Me, the Son of Man? He asked him in Gethsemane, trying to prevent him from doing what was in his heart to do. And after he had betrayed Jesus, he didn't have to continue in his own way. He didn't have to, after pursuing the covetous desires of the flesh and taking the money from the chief priest, he didn't have to go on in his life without repentance. He didn't have to go out and hang himself in despair, and yet he did. So hell was the place Judas belonged, not because he betrayed Jesus, but because of his impenitence, his despair, his unbelief. According to Luke 12, You remember the story of the foolish rich man? The foolish rich man also went to hell. But he didn't belong in hell because he was a rich man. There will be rich people in heaven. The gold and the silver are the Lord's to give. No, the rich man went to hell because the scriptures tell us, Jesus said, he was not rich toward God. He was an unbeliever. Revelation 21 says that the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Be sure you understand what that says. Every one of us is guilty of these sins in our lives at times. But to live in these sins is what is pictured in Revelation. Hell is where people go who belong there because they live in sin. There is no repentance. They turn away from Christ and his own ways and they despise his word of forgiveness. So, where is your place in eternity? Is it heaven? Now, I've set you up, but I only set you up in the context of Christ's own words from our text. The Savior wants every one of you here today to be certain of your place in heaven. He wants you to be able to say, I belong in heaven, but not because of anything in me. If it were all up to me, I would perish forever in hell. That would be my place with Judas and all the unbelieving souls who go there. But because of Jesus, I belong in heaven. Jesus wants you to know that in your heart without question. And that's why he spoke these words to his disciples before he died for their sins. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, in other words, if I waste myself on the cross for your sake, then I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Our Lord's place was in heaven from eternity. That's where he belonged. And yet for our sakes he took our sin upon himself. The scriptures say he became sin in our places. He came to this place, the earth, full of sin and death, so that you and I might never have to go to that place in hell. That's why he says in John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He doesn't say, whoever believes in the example that I've given, the example of love, whoever believes that the Father gave the Son as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, that one shall not perish. He belongs in heaven. Only those who truly believe this message of forgiveness and love belong in heaven. On our 25th wedding anniversary, our four children paid for a night for my wife and I in a bed and breakfast in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And that was something new to us. But that night, as new as it was and special as it was, we felt like we belonged there. Why? Never seen the place before. Never really thought about going there. Never really cared. It wasn't about what was in us. It was about what was in our children. They paid for it. They bought that night. They gave it to us. And we felt like we belonged there in that place because of what they did. And we believed their word that they'd paid for it. And we walked in there. I didn't put down a dime. I couldn't have. I wouldn't have, but they did it, and we belong there because of them. Same thing applies to you and me. To every believer in Christ and the blood that was given for the sins of the world, our place is in heaven if we believe we belong there because of what Jesus did to buy us back for heaven. So, if you belong in heaven, then getting there is more important than anything else. If you belong in heaven, this place that was prepared for you, then you may be certain that Christ will bring you to that place. But where is your place now? Anytime we Christians have places, or I should say, every Christian has a place that he belongs in time. Simply because he belongs in heaven and eternity. The two come together. By faith in his Son, we are God's spiritual offspring. We have been prepared as he was for this heavenly place. It means we belong there. At the same time, it means that we're going to live our lives on this earth as if we belong there. We're going to walk toward heaven because that's the place that he has chosen us to be. And so we should be able to give account for where we are and what we are doing at any time. And yet that can be very embarrassing if you're anything like I am. It can be embarrassing at any moment to be called upon to give a reason why you are where you are. Because we're not always where we ought to be. We're not always going where we ought to be going. Take Elijah, for example, that Old Testament reading. Elijah had been sent to preach the law and the gospel to God's Old Testament people, and he had done that faithfully for years, suffering much persecution from Ahab and Jezebel. But Elijah thought that he alone was bound for heaven. He came to that conclusion one day. They had been eating at him because it seemed that all the people were rejecting his message, including the king and the queen. So he began to think that he was the only one going to heaven and everyone else in Israel was going to hell. Well, apart from that being rather self-righteous and legalistic in a sense, Elijah decided that he'd just leave it all, chuck it. He went out into the wilderness for a good cry. He was feeling sorry for himself. But the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here in the wilderness away from my people, away from the ministry to which I called you? What are you doing here? Now, three of you have been called to teach in our Christian day school. Two of you were installed last week. You're going to be dealing with the children 5 days a week. Something I don't think I could do. All day long. And a multitude of you today were installed to teach in the Sunday school on Sunday. That's the ministry to which you were called. You're not always going to see the fruits of your labors. You're going to get frustrated with those little children. There are going to be frustrations, as there are in every ministry of the word. But your place will always be with the children that were entrusted to you, regardless of any inadequacies that you may see in yourself. Your place will be with those children. It's not about you. It's about the children. And it's about bringing to them Jesus, their Savior, as clearly, as wonderfully, as the Spirit gives you the ability to do. Your place of ministry will be in the classroom because God has called you through us, his people. Your God has determined your place in our school this year. If you remember that God has determined your place in our school, then we'll do our best to remember that too. And that will be a help to you. It's very important for all of us to be able at any given moment to answer the question, why am I here? Sometimes we're in the wrong place, a place of temptation, a place we shouldn't have even gone. Sometimes our conscience will bother us, as it ought to. There are going to be other times that we're in a particular place because God is using that place to correct us, to burn off some of the dross so that we become more pure silver and gold for him in his kingdom. Those of you who are returning to school, wherever that school is, you're going to find yourselves at times in places where you need to ask yourself, why am I here? And for all of us, when that question is asked, we're going to be directed correctly if right away the answer comes to our heart. Where do I belong in eternity? If the first thought that comes to your mind as an answer to the question, why am I here, is, my God has saved me for eternity. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. I belong in heaven. Therefore, that's why I'm here. Therefore, I'm going to do this or that thing. Or I'm going to be in church on Sunday. Or I'm going to be out helping this or that person who needs my help. Because I belong in heaven. That's the guide for the Christian. The same applies for all of us who are in the workplace each day. The unbelieving person, he always does things backward. When he thinks about success or climbing higher, his idea of success is climbing the ladder of prosperity here on earth. He never gets beyond this plane or this planet. It's different with the Christian. His goals are higher. The only way to think as a child of God is to ask the question I asked you earlier, where is my place in eternity? And if you can say from your heart with certainty, my place is not in hell because of my dear Redeemer, but my place is in heaven, that will be a guide, and that will determine what you do and where you are by the grace of God. Why are you here in church this morning, for example? There are a lot of good reasons, but the motive is everything. It ought to be simply to be here to be convinced again because of your sin. You need this conviction. Because of your flesh that's hostile to God, you need to be continually reminded, I belong to Jesus. He's forgiven my sin. We need to hear the word of the Savior who says, I'm coming back for you to take you to the place I prepared for you. But why are you here in sense of a circumstance of life? Why is it that you are here patiently dealing with aches and pains or with some chronic disease? Why aren't you running away from it the way the world runs away from pain and disease, or the way Judas ran away? In time of trouble and loss, the world runs ever more feverishly to fill itself up with the pleasures of this earth. You've heard people say it, maybe somebody you know. Well, I've only got so much time, I'm going to make sure I get as much pleasure as I can before I die. And so the whole life is turned over to the pursuit of pleasure instead of the service of those whom God has created and redeemed. Why don't you run away? Why are you standing your ground? I hope it's because you're saying in your heart, Lord, and you may not even consciously know this, but if you think about it, you're saying, Lord, I know that this is the path that you've chosen for me to take. This is my road to heaven, where I belong. If that's what you're saying in your heart, then you're also going to say, now help me so that I testify to your love. Help me to stand my ground and not whine and complain like Elijah did or countless others, but help me to stand my ground so that I can say to the world by what I say and do and the way I act in this situation that you love me and I belong in heaven because of your doing and dying. Our Lord Jesus is going to return to this earth again for two reasons. You know what they are? He's going to judge the world for the rejection of the gospel, for denying the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring his people to heaven where they belong. Those are the two reasons Christ is coming again. All that counts, therefore, for each day is that we know for sure that we belong in heaven with him, and knowing that we belong in heaven with him eternally is going to help us know where we belong in time. May God grant us his grace for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety as you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again to take you to the place that he's prepared for you. Amen.